Hour 2 of Wildcat Insider, John Kurtz, Wyatt Thompson, and Mitch Fortner all here with you. 537-1350, 866-776-1350. How are you feeling about men's basketball? As things not good right now after the 81-51 loss to Oklahoma over the weekend. Worst loss of the season. Worst loss since 2006, in fact, for the program. We will talk a little football at 525. We got a question about spring football that we will address. Also, something cool that I saw on social media today about Bill Snyder. And much more here in hour two of the show. With you until 6 o'clock. Tonight we have K-State Women's Hoops pregame kicking in at 6:30, 7 o'clock for the tip-off between K-State and Texas. And certainly we can get to that some more in hour two as well. It's senior night for tremendous senior class for Jeff Mitty and company. But we open up the show saying basically this. I mean, look, there's no real way to try and sugarcoat an 81-51 loss to Oklahoma, the last-place team on the road. There's a lot of carnage from this game. K-State shot just 25%, only had 14 made field goals, only four assists on those 14 made field goals, four assists and 17 turnovers in the game. Only one double-figure score for K-State, and that was Isaiah Maurice. Raise your hand if you had that as a prediction before the game. That I think speaks volumes when you go look at the box score after this one. But after trailing 33-20 at the half, K-State just never really was able to seriously threaten in the second half. Did get it to 12 at one point, but it never really felt like they were going to get over the hump.
Frustration beyond frustration, I think. Just bluntly saying it, it was a rough, awful day. It just was. Didn't make shots. I really felt like the team really didn't have the pop that I thought that they needed to have to really get after it and get going. I think it would probably be fair to say that Oklahoma was okay and just okay. It wasn't like K-State ran into, say, West Virginia or Iowa State or somebody that made, 14 threes, This wasn't that.
Yeah.
It just was one of those games where, and we said last hour, in all honesty, they're down 13, 33-20 at half, and you kind of think, okay, we've been here before. Let's see if they can battle back into the game. And the first couple of minutes of the second half, they get a bucket or two, and then boom, it seemed like in about 3 minutes, it was over, and you just had no shot at whatever it was, 72-46. Went quick.
You're right about that, because it went from being, like I said, okay, 33-20 at the half, but Oklahoma's not really playing that well. As long as you just do anything here, you're going to be back in the game, too. All of a sudden, well, now you're down 20, and that's probably too much of a hole for this team to dig out of. We've seen them do it almost at Iowa State, but it just wasn't in the cards for that game in Norman, Oklahoma, and the Wildcats now have lost 8 of their last 10 and are 6-10 in the league.
Did you think K-State was getting good shots? How did you perceive that?
Somewhat, at least in the first half, it didn't feel like they were all just terrible, terrible shots. It felt like they, Bruce Weber said afterwards, hey, we just didn't make shots. I mean, certainly that is an aspect of what happened.
Right.
I will absolutely grant you that. This was made worse by the fact that they had a cold shooting night, certainly, and I think it snowballed from there.
Yeah. I guess I asked because in calling the game, it just seemed like they had some pretty good looks early, and they just weren't going. I mean, they started, I think, 1 of 11 from the field, and it just it was just one of those days where it's like, oh, it's like pulling teeth to try to make a bucket, and then – everybody is – I mean, like you said, if Isaiah Maurice is your leading scorer, there are issues there, and that's exactly what we saw.
Yeah, first half, he had 8 of the 20 points. As crazy as that is, almost half of K-State's offensive output in the first half. Now, I think what got a lot of run and what to me made it seem like it was even worse than just the 30-point loss on the road could be was what happened after the game. And, look, I wasn't there, not traveling with the team, but – Kelis Robinette, some of the beat writers obviously were, and after the game won, the players opted not to speak to the media, which is sort of the second time that has happened this year. The first time it was really miscommunication that led to that after the TCU loss at home. But then you also had some comments from Bruce Weber that drew, I think, a lot of attention. Basically, when he was just asked, the question was, and I unfortunately, I don't believe that we have the question on this part of the audio, but the question was just, how have you been handling the criticism lately? Because seemingly there has been some, obviously, with the way things have gone here over the last couple weeks of the season, and this was Bruce Weber's response.
I don't have any criticism. The only one that brings anything up is you. So, and then the other dude at the thing at the press conference. That's the only one that's ever criticized me. So, you know, if you want to be negative, that's fine with you. Me, I'm just, my life is about being positive and good things and good kids, great K-State opportunity. That's all I care about.
So, you know, most of that answer, I mean, honestly, I'm okay with. If you want to just say I'm worried about what I can worry about, which is winning basketball games, which is basically what he did Wednesday night after losing to Oklahoma State when he fielded some questions like that, I thought it was fine to just brush it aside and say, hey, I'm just worried on what I can control. What I can control is winning games. I'm trying to be positive. I'm okay with all that. But I do take a little bit of issue with saying that the media is the only ones criticizing here. I think at least to stick up for my media brethren, you know, our Twitter mentions, the message boards, any kind of social media you want to read right now, there's a lot of criticism out there.
Well,
there's
sure.
A lot of criticism out there.
In fairness to Bruce, and again, this will sound like what I said last hour, that you know, you have the play-by-play guy back in the coach here, and there is something to that. Trying to be as fair as possible, he's not paying attention to that.
Sure. Well, right.
He's just not.
And he shouldn't,
but he's also,
the way, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, he say that again.
I would say he shouldn't. Yeah, he should not pay attention to that.
Absolutely.
Just, yeah, right.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, in being as fair as possible, he's been around the game a long time. He knows there's criticism out there. I mean, there was a guy that booed from behind when we were in Austin. There were a couple of boos as he came out for post game after Oklahoma State. I mean, it's just part of it. And I think at his core, he understands that. I think what you heard there was in part a large part from my perspective, just a really frustrated gentleman right now. That's the way I see it.
And I do understand that. And I was telling you off air, context I can provide for people here. I mean, Wednesday, the press conference, not his radio post game, but the press conference that happened, he did take probably three questions. And it's the two guys he's referring to there, Kelis Robinette, who we have on the show every week, and then D. Scott Fritschen from GoPowerCat.com. They were the two that were asking the tougher questions right after the game on Wednesday, losing to Oklahoma State. So, and like I said, I thought he handled it perfectly fine. He handled it the way I probably would have if I was in his shoes, you know, the way that it happened on Wednesday. So I think it's getting asked three or four questions like that, and then the next time you go, you have this really frustrating loss, and all of a sudden you're taking the same type of question. So I do think that plays into it as well, in all fairness. You know, a lot of times we see these stories and want to pretend and think that they happen just in a vacuum, just that one thing, that's all that there is to it. There's more to it here. There are a lot of moving parts.
Well, there are moving parts, and I think for me personally, traveling and being with the team a lot, being at practice quite a bit, not day every day necessarily, but quite a bit. I said this, we touched on this a little bit last hour. I think you've got a team right now from the top down, coaches, players. There's frustration there when you lose. And this is a team that's dropped, what, 5 of 6 and 8 of 10? That kind of stuff is hard to take. And it's just frustration now. And you know what? We don't necessarily know what's going on. You know, is there more there than we think? Is there like a division of the team and stuff? You can't. That's only speculation. It's hard to dive into that, I think. But I think on the other hand, common sense would tell you when things aren't going good, you know, the normal thing to do is question everything, right? And I think you have a little bit of that, and just the frustration itself is tough right now. It just is.
Well, and the other part to me is I fully understand the players being frustrated. And look, I mean, the toughest part to me about all this is I feel for DJ Johnson, who rehabbed for a year and a half to come right back from a foot injury, and now looks like the tournament is slipping through his grasp here in his senior season. And Wesley Owundu, who's put so much into this, and Austin, but I mean, go on down the line. All those guys, I feel for the players first and foremost, because a lot of times I think they're the forgotten guys in all of this. They're kind of collateral damage to what everybody thinks about the coach and the program and where everything is going. They're the guys that are actually out there grinding and playing every single day. But when you don't come out to do post-game interviews, it turns what would be, I'm sure, just some generic, hey, we have to play better, that was bad, that's not... some generic answers that no one's really going to get upset about one way or the other to now all of a sudden, okay, well, the players aren't coming.
What's wrong?
What's wrong? It makes you think that there's a lot going on there, and it just makes the situation seem worse than I'm sure it probably is. And I guess on a level, it's disappointing to me, too, because I am there. Well, I'm not on the road, but, I mean, I'm there talking with them once or twice a week. I don't feel like we're unfair to them. This is not Manhattan, New York. We don't come at things with that type of an attitude here in this media market. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's a little bit disappointing for them to bail just based on that. To me, all of us have been more than fair with them throughout the year. So whatever the reason actually is, I don't know. But to me, that was disappointing, and I thought it blew it into a bigger story than it had to be.
Well, you mentioned last hour at one point, too, that there was a tweet after a game most recently by Wesley Wundu where he referenced, you know, some fans. And so I think they're aware of the criticism. I don't know if them not speaking Saturday has anything to do with that, or if it has everything to do with that, or somewhere in between. I honestly don't know. If I had the answer, I'd sit here and tell you, John. I really would. If I were guessing, I'd say it probably has something to do with it.
Yeah.
But like you, you know, I think everybody would understand that the media is trying to do their job too. And if you come out, even if you just give the standard, we were bad, or we didn't play well, or we didn't shoot well, and it's pretty standard answers down the line, I'm with you there. It perception-wise, it's better than not showing up. That's just the truth.
And they were also sitting there, by the way, on Wednesday with Bruce Weber, while he was getting some of those tough questions. Mm-hmm. So there may be, I mean, that may play a part of it, that they're not happy with that. There was the TCU game earlier this year. There was some miscommunication that led to them not being there at the postgame press conference. And, you know, we just tweeted the information that they were not there without having full knowledge of the miscommunication there. So I don't know if they're still a little upset about that, too, which happened early in the year. I'm sure there's a lot of things, like you said, that are playing into it. But the bottom line is, I also say I don't think them not showing up is really that big of a sign of all kinds of crazy stuff going on. That's why I wish they would have just done it, because I think it would have...
Well, that's exactly right. That's what I think what we're trying to say. There's frustration there from, you know, with the media, that they're just trying to get a couple of quotes for a story or whatever. And a quote, even if it's an average one or if it's one that's kind of generic, it's better than not having one. So you have that side of it. Then you have the players that know there's, you know, they're frustrated with the way things have gone. So they're it's like anything else when it comes to journalism. There's two sides to every story, always.
Yeah. Well, and obviously, I mean, I'm admitting my bias. I mean, I'm going to be biased.
I understand.
One way over the other there.
We always are, though.
Yeah. Which,
right? I mean, that's human nature. Whether it's you, me, Wes, whoever, I mean, you're going to be a little swayed toward your side of it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
just trying to be as upfront with that as
yes,
I can.
I think you have to be.
Obviously, yeah. Obviously, that's the way I'm going to lean on some things. So you can tweet your questions or comments to us at the game KMAN. You can also call us 537-1350 or toll-free 866-776-1350. Before we go to break, let's squeeze in Byron from Fort Worth, who's got a K-State basketball question. What's going on, Byron?
Hey, I've been kind of kicking around whether or not I want to make the 20-minute drive over to the arena on Wednesday. You know, I figured I put up with football between 1975 and 1980, so I can suck it up just this one time. Hey, Wyatt, can I come sit with you in the stands so I'm not the only K-Stater in the place?
Let me see. I don't know what the seating is exactly yet, but we might be able to work something out, sure.
No, I'm just kidding, but, you know, I didn't think Bruce got a fair shake from a lot of people. You know, the instant vitriol from a lot of the fans, I thought was completely out of line. And I can't imagine working, trying to do your job under that, you know?
Yeah.
When you, but that said, you know, and I raised two teenage boys, and they're in their 20s now, and when the Marcus Foster situation was going on, I've learned some things, and I know I learned how little control you have over a teenager when you're a parent, mm-hmm. let alone a coach of a basketball team with a kid who's full of testosterone, away from home, you know. And so I didn't hold that against him because I know, I mean, when a kid makes a decision, a bad decision, and he won't even listen to his parents, I don't know what in the world a coach is supposed to do. But that said, it's sad watching. It's uncomfortable just knowing the turmoil and the heartbreak and the frustration that's going on with him and the players. But it's time, you know. Whether I just feel my own opinion, whether they make the tournament or not, it's time. Because I don't see it getting any better.
Well, hey, yeah, Byron, I appreciate the phone call. We're kind of up against a break here, but I appreciate you offering up that sentiment there. I mean, that's kind of what we're looking for from fans here today, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do appreciate the call. And I think, to be honest, there are a lot of fans that feel like that. I think they're are probably more today than ever before after Saturday's game, honestly, just because you get into this time of year and the games are, right or wrong, they're bigger, mean more. You're looking at the potential of, you know, trying to get into the NCAA tournament, and then you get roasted like that. It's we're all frustrated by it, just different levels. So pretty good call, pretty well said.
Yeah, well, and like I said, a lot of what he talked about, not only what's happening right now with the frustration this year and the way things are going, but also the Marcus Foster situation coming into a tough situation because you had a portion of the fan base that was so upset about the last coach leaving, I think more so than anything else, to perhaps put him behind the eight ball. Mm-hmm. I understand. I think you're right to point all that out. It's also a seven-figure business where you're making a lot of money and you get paid to deal with things like that. So I think, you know, there's two sides to that coin as well. When we come back, I want to tackle a spring football question that we did get on Twitter, so we'll take a break from the basketball a little bit on that. But if you do have a phone call like Byron, 537-1350, we can get to that as well, basketball or otherwise, here on Wildcat Insider.